You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Alberto Lopez Valenzuela. For over 25 years, Alberto has worked in business information and analysis, developing decision intelligence solutions for Fortune 500 companies. He held roles in marketing, strategy, and corporate development at numerous global enterprises before founding and serving as chief executive at Alva, a technology-enabled company that creates decision-ready intelligence for the largest companies in the world. Alberto is a visiting professor at Cass Business School, where he earned his MBA and holds an honors degree from the University of the Arts, London. He splits his time between Alva's offices in London and New York. Alberto, welcome to On Brand.
Hi, Nick. Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I am thrilled to talk a little bit about decision intelligence, because I would imagine This might not be that intelligent of a way to phrase this, pardon the pun, but I would imagine with the tools, the technology that we have today, that we have so much information, so much in terms of inputs coming in, that it can be overwhelming to make decisions today.
Yeah, that's precisely the need to actually have robust and targeted intelligence. In what I've discovered over the years, as you say, is that companies buy and consume intelligence in silos. But as companies are becoming much more integrated and also much more accountable to different constituents in society, there's an emerging need for companies to actually have what we call connected intelligence. And connected intelligence is when you actually combine multiple data sets that allow you to see the emerging picture of the sentiment of your stakeholders and your advocates and antagonists, and be able to understand what's driving that sentiment, that advocacy, that support.
So talk me through that a little bit, the connected data sets, because I'm wondering which way that presents itself in terms of the challenge. Is it we have all of this data, we need to do something with it? Or is it the reverse of that, as we need to know X, let's look around at how we can get to X, which presents most often?
I think it's about the business outcome that you want to achieve. You know, what's the business outcome you want to achieve? What decisions do you need to make that business outcome? And what intelligence do you need to support that decision? That's how typically the most advanced companies that we work with actually operate. They always start with the business outcome that they want to achieve. It is very easy to get busy. It's very easy to apply a lot of effort into things that are somehow disconnected with the business outcome. So the connection actually comes from starting from that business outcome.
So clients that you're working with, organizations that you're assisting, and they know what that outcome is that they want to achieve. Where do you start once you know that? Do you look at at data that you have? Is there new data organizations are missing that we need to find? What does that data picture look like?
Absolutely. So I could give you an example. So let's just start to a situation whereby a lot of companies are involved with today, which is understanding their purpose in society and understanding what role do they play and how that role that they play actually creates value. So every company many companies for the last 10, 15 years have started into this process of, okay, we are here for purpose that is beyond economic creation. It's or shareholder value creation. There's something else that we're contributing to society. So when these companies define what the purpose is, they actually want to see, okay, how that purpose, first of all, let's understand how we actually being seen by the rest of society. How big is the gap between our internal perception and the external perception? And then once they understand the gap, obviously they want to find as much alignment as possible between these two perceptions. And the final point is understanding how that purpose actually is going to drive value. Yeah. So once you have the support of your investors, of your employees, of the community relations, or NGOs, and so on, you want to understand to what extent those relationships and that support is driving value in the business.
Well, I think that's a great example too, because it is tied with this need that we're looking at more, to find this, you know, organizational mission purpose. And I think a lot of times we hear so much about that we should be about something, that we should stand for something as a brand. And yet a lot of times we kind of sit around and decide what that should be instead of looking at some data sets here that could lead us to a meaningful direction that's actually based on something instead of what everybody around the table's best guess at what we should be is.
Absolutely. And on my book, The Connecting Leader, I talk about the need, the authentic organizations and the authentic business. And again, in the current operating context, where we actually have high degrees of hyper transparency, high degrees of interconnectivity among consumers and customers, and an environment which is dominated partly by media anarchy, companies need to find the truth. They need to find the true moments or the moments of truth. And those moments of truth actually come from all sorts of places, not just only the executive team, but actually collecting intelligence on your staff, collecting intelligence on your clients, collecting intelligence on your investors. Because, again, those are perceptions that are a reflection of your identity. So it is very important to factor that and do it. Form that view with intelligence that confirms whether the assumptions are right or not.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up your book, because I wanted to talk a bit more about that. Talk a bit about the focus and what folks can expect from The Connected Leader.
Yes, so the Connecting Leader, it's a book that came out in response of it's a reflection. Initially, it was a reflection of the role that business play in society, and the changes that have occurred over the last 50 years in society, whereby there have been three major forces, being globalization, being a sustainability agenda, and being a digital revolution. And how those three forces have actually changed the relationship that businesses actually have with society. So you could argue that 20, 30 years ago, business was somehow separated from society. I think in the current business context, businesses are interconnected with society. And therefore, they have a closer relationship, the constituents have a closer relationship between business. So what we have seen is that many businesses have suffered reputational crisis. And sometimes those reputational crises come from a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding of the role that businesses play in society. So the book is it's a call to arms for business leaders to find the internal truth within the organizations and find the mechanisms, and I give a set of techniques, but find the mechanisms to connect better with society and achieve a situation whereby there's a win-win outcome. Business achieves its outcomes and creates wealth and its purpose, and society also achieves the goals that want to achieve by having a relationship with business.
Now, in the book, do you cite kind of go-to examples of what some of those win-wins between organizational purpose and societal outcomes?
Yes. So I give a number of examples of companies that have embarked in a more sort of social conscious sort of strategy, if you like. And what's really interesting is that over the years we've heard that somehow, especially in Europe, you hear a lot about profit almost being a nasty word. You know, people sort of not really talking about profit. Well, I think that's fundamentally wrong. I think businesses need to achieve profit. But it's just the way that they achieve profit that actually it's something that a number of companies are transforming. So, for instance, you take a company like Apple, which is an extremely profitable company, extremely successful company, but they still have a very strong social purpose, and they have been massive drivers of progress within society. You have other companies that they take a completely different relationship to profit, such as Patagonia, that Patagonia, while they are an incredible brand, they also have a set of social impact targets that they aim to accomplish. And again, that has created a different relationship between Patagonia and their consumers. Interesting, did you see Apple, a profit-first company, has a massive army of advocates. Patagonia, it's a sort of society-first company, has a massive army of advocates. To me, that's fascinating that actually companies now are sort of applying those methods to develop good relationships with society.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about the Apple example is I feel like they've always done a great job as a brand of articulating who they are, what they stand for, and I think that that's given them a great amount of credence in what you're talking about. But I also think a challenge is that as kind of these social mores change and we look for a greater connection between business and societal purpose, I also feel like I hear people looking for Apple to do more beyond what they say, you know, looking at manufacturing practices, what they're doing in the communities, where their headquarters is, looking at environmental impact. It's one of those things where it's hard because even a company like Apple, who has so much to stand for, I feel like as a society, we're kind of constantly looking for more and more.
I think that's a very valid point. However, I would say that actually Apple has a massive contribution to society that in many cases it's invisible or taken for granted. For instance, a lot of the effort and investment that Apple is making today, it's also in the healthcare and, right, and working with medical devices. So the contribution that Apple potentially could have on health will be a phenomenon, as they have a significant contribution in society, in the spreading of knowledge, in productivity, and so on. So I think it's interesting that people say, well, they could always do more. And one of the challenges that Apple has is because they are such a great company. Every time that they have a particular issue, it really has a great degree of coverage, and they get sort of signal as a company that potentially could do better. I think we all could do better.
Right.
What's really interesting, the point also is that they are, as you might know, Unilever is another company that actually has decided to find a balance between profit and society. And Unilever serves about 2 billion consumers a year, and they have massive impact in sustainability, and they have massive impact on the planet. And the CEO of Unilever, rightly so, decided to apply a sustainability targets as well as financial targets to the business. So in there you have three types of companies: a profit first company, a profit and society company, and a society first company. Being Apple, Unilever, and Patek.
Well, those are great examples. So what if someone's listening to this and thinking that is the connection we need to make in our organization? Where does someone start? Maybe it goes full circle back to some of the data decisions that we were talking about. But where, and of course, beyond buying the book, The Connecting Leader, mm-hmm, where would someone start? We're also at the beginning of a new year, and this, as we even think about personal resolutions and talking about organizational resolutions, it seems like this could get a lot of traction at this time of year. What are some of the first steps that you'd advise someone thinking about connecting a little bit more?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is realizing that connecting is not optional. In the current business context, you do need to connect. If you don't connect, you will become somehow irrelevant to your constituents. So the realization of connection, it's important. The second is to connect to what do they connect to? And they connect to a set of values. They connect to your internal truth. And I think that's the second point that is really important, to actually finding that internal truth within the organization and make sure that actually resonates within the employees, within management, within customers, investors, and so forth. So making sure that everybody has a consistent view of that internal truth. And then I'm being oversimplistic here because this is a very complex process, but But then the third one is to make sure that you're consistently behaving in line with your internal truth. And you mentioned something earlier, which is really important, about companies increasingly more so being asked to take a stand. You take a stand when you know what your internal truth. If you don't know what your internal truth, you might not actually, you don't have the compass to actually decide whether you should be taking a stand on something or not. And having that, it's fundamental. So then, once you have that internal truth, it's just living consistently, communicating, behaving, performing in line with that internal truth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a key point too, because if it's not challenging enough to kind of come up with this, I think what's difficult is finding a way to get everybody on board, because I think that's another step that we miss a lot of times, you know, whether it's at the at the smaller leadership table. It's enough to our first challenge of getting beyond the ideas at the table and coming up with a data-driven mission and purpose, but how can you communicate that to all the different levels? It's not easy.
It is not easy, but it's easier when actually there is it's anchored in the truth that people can recognize.
Yeah,
I think that's what makes it easier, and also I think that's one of the reasons why also Apple has such level of advocacy and support, because actually, in the sort of the second coming of Steve Jobs, Apple did a great job on actually going back to what was really special about Apple.
Yeah.
And they have been consistent in that, and they've been reinforcing those values over and over and over again.
I think those are all important things to think about, big things to think about, and definitely essential today. Alberto, as we start to wrap things up, as we move on to lighter fare, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
That's a very good question. yes, a brand that has made me smile recently. So I would say it's Sesame Street has made me smile recently. I have an 18-month old daughter, and what has been fascinating is how she moved from baby Einstein to Elmo in Sesame Street. And I think, again, those programs are so smart, so engaging, and they capture the attention of a child, which is extremely difficult to capture. So I think there's a lot to, I mean, it makes me smile because I see my daughter very joyful and happy, but also it made me smile about how much probably thought has been it's behind achieving that level of attention from an 18-month-old baby.
I love that. You can't beat Sesame Street. Alberto, where can we go to send folks to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Of course. So there's a website that people can visit. Is theconnectingleader.com. It's the-connecting-leader.com. In there, there's links to the book, links to blogs, links to podcasts, hopefully such as these, and we also have other resources and that I published there. I'm on LinkedIn, under Alberto López Valenzuela, and my Twitter handle is Alva CEO.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Alberto, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thanks very much, Nate. It's been a pleasure.
And as a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to know, answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. OnBrand is a production of Brand Driven Digital, helping complex organizations simplify their branding and marketing to unlock growth more, including the links we discussed at BrandDrivenDigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.